bring greetings this morning in the precious name of Jesus. And it's good to be here again this morning with you, brethren. For a message this morning, turn to John chapter 17, for those of you that want to. Excuse me. John chapter 17, verse 20 through 23. This is Jesus' prayer for his body, for his followers, for his children. And Jesus is praying here to the Heavenly Father, and this is his words. This is part of his prayer. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them which shall believe on me through their word. In other words, he was praying for his disciples, but he was also praying for those that believe on the Lord Jesus Christ through the disciples' words, through the words that the disciples said, through the preaching of the word. Verse 21, that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one. And that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Unity within the body. Now, I would have really, really enjoyed if the Sunday school discussion could have kept on going, because I think it enters right in here. And I, like I said, I have more questions than answers. Today, the phrase would be teamwork. I think if you go out and interview any business out in the community, in the world, and you ask them if they have teamwork, they will know what you're talking about. Is that correct? I think so. So teamwork. But teamwork is kind of, you know, it has the idea of working together, but unity has the idea of surrounding ourselves with the truth of God's word and continuing to work together. Being unified. Now, just to give us an idea of what teamwork and unity can do, this morning, out of curiosity, I had no idea, I just Googled, how much can a draft horse pull by himself? You want to guess how many pounds a draft horse can pull? I'm sorry? 10,000. Well, you're close. They can pull 8,000 pounds. Now, how many can two pull? I'm sorry? 20,000. No, they said 22,000. Now, they said if they are properly trained to work together, let me see here, when they train together and pull together, they can pull 32,000 pounds. One, two that are just kind of, you know, they're working together, but not really. But here, they're really trained to pull together. Four times what one person can do, or what one draft horse can do. So this morning, the question is, are you pulling together? Are you training together? Are you pulling together? Are you one with each other? As we consider unity, unity is a very powerful force. Unity within a group of people will present a formidable force and have much greater success in accomplishing their goals than those that work alone or are disunified. Jesus made the statement, it just left me right now. When two don't work together, they will fail to. Can somebody help me? I'm sorry?
A house divided?
That's right. Thank you. A house divided against itself will not stand. But a house that is working together will grow. Now, that's not Jesus' word. Those are my words. But a house divided against itself will not stand. And have you ever wondered why, this is looking at the political world and society today, why there is such it seems like there is so little being done in the political world. You ever wonder about that? It's because they can't agree. They're continually fighting amongst themselves. They are not unified. They're not working together. They're not teammates. They're not pulling together. So therefore, they're only doing 8,000 pounds, if you want to put it that way, when they could be doing 32,000 pounds, four times. Now, just because we're unified does not make it biblical or godly. You know, I've read stories of the military where they have a tremendous teamwork effort. They have tremendous working together. And when they meet the enemy, if they want to go from point A to point B, the ones at point B, A will continue to provide firepower towards the enemy so that some of them can go to point B. When they have done that, then those will cover the enemy, and these that were left come to them to go over to point B. And that's working together, but it's not necessarily godly. But it's a working together that is able to accomplish what they want and what their goal is. It's they're doing much more than one or two could do by doing the whole force. So, if we read John 17, Jesus' prayer was, again, that they may be one as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us. Verse 23, it says, I in them, thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one. And both times, Jesus gives the reason why this happens, why this should happen. What is it? What is that reason? Anyone? I'm sorry? That the world may believe that that God sent Jesus. That is the reason. Do you realize that when we fight in amongst ourselves, when we are not at one, when we're disunified, we are not only stopping the work right here, but we're also the witness that we leave out there is stopped, that they will not believe that Jesus came from the Father, because his children can't be at peace among themselves. If you ever had a question whether it's the desire of God for his people to have unity, read these verses slowly and meditatively. Jesus Christ prays for his followers that they may be as one, that they may be one as God and Christ Jesus are one. that we, his followers, his children, would be one with the Godhead and with each other. You know, when there's unity of faith in the believers, people looking on from the outside will wonder, what is different about this group of people? What is going on that they can get together and just be at peace among themselves? And they have a goal to worship God. They have a goal to serve God. And it's just, it's different because they're not fighting all the time. When there's disunity and every man speaking his own version of gospel, the power to convince the world that Jesus Christ is the Son of God is lost. There are many, many voices in the world that are crying for attention, and they're confusing to those that are trying to find the way, trying to find the answers to life's problems. You know, and usually when there's disunity in the brotherhood, in the church, however you want to word that, usually there's jealousy involved in the brotherhood somewhere, somehow. Seems like it. You know, we become afraid that the other person gets more credit than what we do. We become afraid that he may get a little bit more credit, or he may even get credit for something I have done. When we all work together, it really doesn't matter who gets the credit. We all get the credit. I guess if you want to say it that way, we do. Because we're looking at a people that are one. Jealousy, it's a tool of the devil to divide the brotherhood. And it's usually because we are afraid that others get more credit or recognition. We are afraid that their social standing will be raised higher than ours. It's a selfish life to live in disunity. It really is, because we're not really willing to lay down our own idea, our own way of thinking for the brethren. James chapter 3, verse 16 says, "For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work." Unity. When we all have the same goals and speak the same things, it brings glory to God and peace within the brotherhood, because it is no longer about me, but it's about God and his will that we want to glorify. It's about Jesus Christ. When we have unity, we can lay down our own life to the brethren for the sake of God. And then, when we do this, the world can see that we love God. But not only that, the world can see that we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and we have something to offer them, because we're different than the world. Because we have peace within our heart. Is it any wonder that we live in a dark and wicked society today? We're not unified as a church. Therefore, we're giving a confused message to the world. My burden this morning is not so much that we would be unified with the whole church conglomerate throughout the world necessarily, but that we would be unified right here, right now, right here in Lake Butler. That there may be unity within amongst the brotherhood, that your witness can go out, that the people around you can see and believe that the Lord Jesus reigns. You know, there are many people that are born again, that are living for God, that I don't know. And I'm not necessarily called by God to try to figure out all those people. But for those that I do know, and for those especially in my own home congregation, I am called to live at peace with them and to give my life to for them and for you. Another reason, this is Old Testament, Jeremiah 32, verse 39, says this, and this is God speaking through Jeremiah, and he says, I will give them one heart and one way, and this is the reason, that they may fear me forever. So not now, the message changes just a little bit. The unity and the one heart, one goal, one being together is not only for them out there, but it's also for you. That you may fear God forever. For the good of them and their children after them. So if you want to create a safe environment for your children, then be at peace among yourselves and be in unity in your brotherhood. First Corinthians 1 verse 10 says, now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, and that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Now this morning in Sunday school, we heard that we don't all have the same background. We don't all have the same, not sure what the word was used, way to relate to our, you know, to life. And I don't think that I don't think Jesus Christ is saying that we all have to arrive completely 100%, trying to think of an example, especially in the material life. But I think what he's trying to teach us is that we get to the point where we discuss, we hear the brother, we discuss the things that need to be discussed, and then we try to bring it all together. That's kind of a tough job, I know. We bring all these thoughts together and try to formulate that into one goal to go forward. It's not necessarily easy, church life. It's not. But it is a blessed church life. When there are people that are willing to discuss, when there are people that are willing to discuss in a non-heated way, issues that need to be discussed, and when everybody is allowed to say what they want to say, how they feel, and then it's up to Jason and Dwight to bring these all together and present, say, okay, this is what we heard you say. So, excuse me, is there a glass of water around? Thank you. What was I going to say? Oh, it's up to Jason and Dwight and Jason to bring all these thoughts together and to present to the brotherhood saying, this is what we heard you say. Now, is this what we heard you say? Is this what you meant? And it might have to go back to the drawing board again. But finally, you come to an agreement that this is what we said. This is what we want. And then all are, you know, can gather right behind it and be unified in the body of Christ. I think that's what it's saying. It's not so much, thank you, Nick. It's not so much that we say, all always think exactly alike. That's humanly not possible, I don't think. But it is when we are willing to give, excuse me, to give our thoughts and then be willing to hear. And we may not always arrive always at the exact place where we thought, where I thought we should. But together we arrive at a conclusion. And then we give ourselves to that and become unified. So that is what it's meaning by speaking the same things. After the things are discussed, we finally come to the point where this is what we said. You know, can you imagine how confusing it is to the children in the home when dad says one thing, mom says something completely different, and what are the children supposed to believe? Here, dad is saying you do it this way, mom is saying you do it this way, and the children do it this way. It would be much better if mom and dad would discuss the situation. Maybe dad feels pretty strongly that you do it this way. Mom feels strong to do it this way. But together they discuss the issue, and finally they come to the point that they do it this way. And the children have a solid foundation to come behind. There's no confusion. That's what it means in the church. When there is a unified brotherhood, there is not a lot of confusion because the brethren speak the same thing. Philippians chapter 2. First five verses. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What was Jesus' prayer to God in John 17? That he would be one with the Father. Is that right? That he would be one with the Father. So that was the mind of Christ, that Christ Jesus was one with the Father. That what the Father wanted, he wanted. What Jesus wanted, the Father wanted. There was oneness. There was unity. There was a communication. It was one. And that's what, we say that the Trinity, it's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and they are one. Philippians tells us, let this mind be in you, be in me, that we would be one with each other, that we would be willing, what it says here, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. That means don't let anything be said or done that is in a fighting. Don't let fighting words come out. Or don't try to hoard all the glory to yourself. remember that we are one with each other. We are one with God. We are one with, we're at unity with the brotherhood. We don't always look on our own things. We don't always look on the things that please us, but we also look on the things that please others. And this was the mind of Christ. And that's what we are called to come to, is to come to have the mind of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members that of that one body, excuse me, I'll start over. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. Now jumping down to verse 25. That there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. For whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now, you are the body of Christ and members in particular. There are many, many, many members in our body that work together, creating a healthy, complete body. I think if you would read 1 Corinthians 12, you would see where it says that it's the body is not all the eye. It's not just one great big eye that we look, you know, it's not just one eye. But neither is it just the hands, because the hands need the arms. The eyes need the bone structure behind it to protect the eye, the lids to protect it from dust. The eye can see, and it's wonderful. But without the brain to convey that message from the eye to the brain, it means nothing. So it's a working together. It's a unifying of the body that we don't try to protect our own turf. We don't try to protect our own we don't try to protect our own honor, because I need you, and I trust you. I could have a little bit something to provide for you. You know, the feet can't go anywhere without the legs, but neither can the legs go without the feet. Neither can we go without bones. And yet these bones and these feet and this skin and the nerves, they're not fighting each other. If there's a lot of fighting within the body, physical body, we have problems. Is that correct? We have problems. Because the body will not work together. We all know that within the body, physical body, not every part functions exactly same. And neither does every part have have the same function. But each does its part as it is designed to do. And that's the way it is within the Church of Jesus Christ. We do our part as God designed it and function within that. And it becomes a beautiful place. It becomes a blessed place. It becomes a strong force that the world cannot stand. I would like to give you a story that happened back in the late 1100s. As I understand it, I was obviously not there. And I did not necessarily read the story firsthand, but it was given to me through a magazine. And this is a story of a unified body of Christ presenting a unified voice to its members. Excuse me. Peter Waldo was a bishop in the Waldensian churches back in the late 1100s. I think it was like 1185, somewhere in there. So it's been a couple hundred years ago, almost 1,000, if not 1,000. And in the church he helped to establish was a brother that loaned some money to another man outside of the church. And a brother from the church, this first man, Brother Isaac, I think was his name, gave a loan to a man in the community that was a neighbor to another church brother. And this church brother went to this man, which was the borrower, to see how it's going, how it's faring with him, and how he's being, you know, how he's able to pay, you know, what he's doing to pay back the loan. And then the borrower said this, I could have paid it off a few years ago if he wouldn't have charged me interest. Now, this story is not about charging interest. It's about the church working together. I want you to understand that. But this shocked and bothered this church brother because the brethren, the church taught and believed that Christians should not charge their fellow man interest based on Matthew chapter 5, verse 39 through 42. So this brother went to Brother Isaac and asked him about this. He asked him why he's charging interest when it's clear in the scripture that you don't charge interest. He protested to him that Jesus Christ is not pleased with him for charging interest to their fellow man. And this was based on, again, Matthew chapter 5. the lending brother defended himself. He just defended himself. So when the bishop, Peter Waldo, came on the scene, he was traveling, came through, and he came for a visit. After church service, they had a members' meeting. The church brethren all expressed their thoughts and convictions on this issue. And then they gave Brother Isaac a chance to say his side of the story. Well, he came up with the thought. Now, remember, the church taught that you do not charge interest. He came up with the thought that the talents given out in Matthew 25, the master required his talent with interest. That was his reason. As the reason for his charging interest. When he saw by the expressions of the brethren's faces that plea fell flat, he tried another tactic. His plea this time was to just accept each other in love, even though they don't see eye to eye. You ever heard that one? Well, I have. Let's just accept each other. And I realized that in that time, charging interest is, I think, personally, that's not the issue. We'll just leave that right there. But he saw that plea fell flat as well. So the local pastor brother got up and said that it was evident that in their efforts in bringing the brethren in like-mindedness, to bringing them together in like-mindedness, has failed. So he looked to Peter for direction. Brother Peter got up and said, "The Lord tells us that if there's offenses and the offender will not regard the correction, even when admonition is repeated with witnesses, then it shall be told the church. This step has been taken. The last instructions of Jesus are that if he will not hear the church, we are to regard him as a heathen man and a publican. Excommunication. And this is the interesting part. A shocked expression came across Brother Isaac's face. It had never occurred to him that he would face excommunication on this little issue of charging interest. Never. It never crossed his mind. But there it was. He looked around to the brotherhood. He looked at all the brethren. And there was only concern and love. Sorrow and compassion on these brethren's faces. His mind whirled. What is more important to me? Interest or peace in the brotherhood? Interest or peace in the brotherhood? What is more important to me? And then this is what he said. I would rather give up my own reasoning in this matter than to be parted from this congregation, which I believe is the people of God. Now, I would like to ask you the question. And of course, we cannot answer that from that perspective. But what would have happened to Brother Isaac if he would have noticed, or if he would have heard, or if he would have felt two or three, four brethren giving him support? What would have happened? I don't know. But I do believe that it would have strengthened him in the course that he was going, and that he would not have responded to the church plea and their excommunication. The church was unified. The church was powerfully showing this brother that this is the word of God. And if we can somehow grasp that picture, that the unity in the things of God is power, is complete peace, there is victory, there is strength, I think it would help us as a brotherhood to come to that place. You know, I'm not speaking so much of, let me back up a little bit. We may not always be personally agreed with the brethren, what they're saying, but when it comes down to the wire and a decision needs to be made, am I willing, for the sake of peace and unity, to lay down my ideas for the brother? What is your experience this morning? Are you able to do that? Is it worth unity to disrupt unity and just blow up the church for my ideas? Is my idea that important? Again, I'm not speaking wrong or right or wrong issues. I am speaking about the things that we a lot of times face. What color carpet? What color benches? What color to paint the what color metal? What color brick? What color? You know, you understand what I'm saying? It's these little areas that we at times get so wrapped up, and it completely destroys church life. When we insist on owning our own opinion, we're willing to fight for it. Because it is no longer about God, it's about me now. What I want and insist upon. For those of you that remember Sam Stolzfus and Ryan Korver when they were captives in Haiti, this was what, about a year and a half ago, roughly? I just remember hearing Sam's testimony. And they were captives, they were taken hostage down in Haiti by a gang at gunpoint. And they were taken to a place and held hostage, I don't know, was it, how many was it? 10, 20? I'm sorry?
17.
But there was women, there was children, there was men. There was boys and there was girls. And he said right from the start, they said that they would like to, amongst themselves, they would like to, they were talking about escaping. And there was a couple that were not willing to take that step, to just trust God to deliver them. So they held back. But the group kept, finally it got to the point where Sam said that he is going next week, whether you're coming or not, I am leaving. Ryan Korver said the same thing, almost, because the gang was kind of dividing families. They were only releasing two at a time, and it was him, his wife, and his little boy, or little child, I think it was a little boy. And he said, I cannot separate myself from my family. But finally, the next week came, and Sam said that he reconsidered, and he felt like, no, he just cannot go because of what would that do to the ones that stayed behind. So he stayed behind. And they were held captive for almost 2 months. And finally, they all agreed. We are leaving. But I just remember Sam's testimony. He said, there is power in unity. Because finally, there was direction. Finally, there was a way forward. Finally, they quit just sitting there and there was a way out. The power of the Spirit was hindered while there was disunity there. But when everybody was unified, it seemed like the Spirit of God was right there giving them courage, giving them strength, giving them whatever it needed to go be to go to leave. It lifted the confusion in their life. You know, I'm convinced the reasons we at times live in confusion and can't move forward is because we're too intent in proving our own point and insisting on our own ideas that God is not able to move among us. Brethren, may God help us. Let's give our lives to the Lord and to each other. Let's be at peace among ourselves and to walk in unity. Psalms 133 verse 1 says, behold, how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. You know, throughout scriptures, God teaches us that his desire and goal is for us to work together as a church with each other and with him. Together we go forward. Together there is a power that presents to the world a Savior that is able to help them. When there are many voices, there is a lot of confusion. But when there's one voice, one heart, and one message can bring clarity to the situation. Let's stand for a word of prayer.